Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise, everybody. Everybody, you've been in a holy place. Hallelujah. Turn around and high five three people and tell them, if you didn't know it, we've been in church today. We've been in church today. Amen. And that verse that Pastor just quoted, amen, was the confirmation I needed. What I wanted to preach, amen. I was biting off preaching. Told Brother Morgan something else I was going to preach and was uncomfortable. I even tried to get out of it. Let's dismiss and go home. Amen. That kind of conviction, amen, and holy awe that was preached in here. And I began to notice that happens just about every time Brother Hughes preaches. And that ought to make you honor him and his family by every tape he's got. Amen. And thank God for him. Amen. His wife and family and everything that they do for the kingdom, both in the pulpit and in the counseling room. Amen. We honor him for helping us. And everybody say amen. Give honor to Elder Cisco. Amen. Appreciate him, his family. Amen. What a great man of God. Amen. We love you, sir. Amen to Elder Stone King. Amen. He told us last night he was 72, almost fell backwards out of the chair. You don't look 72. You look good. You can pay me later. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for him. Amen. And I remember the first tape I ever heard of him preaching it because of the times. Amen. I remember what Brother Arnold said to him when he preached. Amen. I'll tell you after church, it was great. Amen. But anyway, love this man of God and his ministry all over the world. The Bible says we should honor, give honor where honor is due. Amen. So we honor this great man of God. Would you give these two elders a great big hand? Amen. We thank God for them. Great people. Amen. Amen. To my elder and friend, Brother Mark Morgan, never heard him better than last night. Love him very much. He's fixing to head back to San Francisco in a little while, so I've got to preach quick because I want to go eat with him. Amen. Amen. Spend a little more time with him. Then I'm going to his house next week, and then it's going to be on. We're going to shake up San Francisco. Amen. So I can't wait to fly to San Francisco, but love him. Appreciate him very much. David and Carlin, my brother and sister. Amen. Love you all very much. And, of course, the Bishop of the House and the First Lady Starks. Amen. Would you give them a great big hand? Come on. What a great man of God. Great family. We thank God for them. Amen. We honor the anointing on them and on you and this church. And so we thank God for you. Numbers chapter 19. Numbers chapter 19 and verse 1 to this music. Boom, shakalaka. That's all I got to say. Brooklyn's loss is Columbus' gain. That's all I can say. Amen. All I can say, we got some color up in here now. It's on. Hallelujah. Come on, son. Pow. Amen. Watch out. I'm going to excite the black man in me, and I'm going to be in trouble. Amen. I don't know if this message will hoop at the end, but I hope you can find my key in case we get to hooping. Amen. I can't wait for Brother Stars to get to preach and start going, ah. Except you'll have to go like this. He's got his tie mic on. Hallelujah. Amen. He may have to start using a handheld now. You can't hoop with a lapel mic. Amen. Anyway, it's going to be good. Amen. Brother Mark Crowder, God bless you and amen. Appreciate him. Are you glad he's in Columbus? Come on, somebody. Numbers chapter 19 and verse 1. Preach with me quick and we'll go eat. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, 19 and 1 of Numbers, and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. One shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin, her flesh, her blood, with her dung shall he burn. The priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes. He shall bathe his flesh in water. Afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his flesh in water and shall be unclean until the evening. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation. It shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be clean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. Everybody say forever. Two places they were commanded here to gather up the ashes. And so I'm preaching for the next few minutes on save the ashes. Look at somebody and say, save the ashes. Amen. Would you lay your Bible down now? Would you grab somebody's hand next to you? Amen. And would you pray for them like you want them to pray for you? Just a little in the bottom. Come on, pray for them. The presence of God has prepared us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In your name, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. And if you believe God's going to answer your prayer, begin to praise Him for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. It is a fact that we must, and it is important that we know who we are in the kingdom of God. Last night, Brother Morgan, and today, Brother Hughes has dealt with this, that it is very important that we have knowledge and or revelation of who we are. We must know who we are so that we do not become vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. If we do, feelings of displacement and inadequacy begin to come to the people of God. And then we become intimidated by others who feel, because we feel they judge themselves by the merits of another. But the Word of God challenges us that we should not judge ourselves by ourselves, for this is not wise. So we must come to an understanding, as was preached last night and today, and this is just flanging together, that we are all becoming what God wants us to become. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I am becoming. Amen. There's not a one-time event where I immediately am what God says I am, but I am as it was with Adam. He was breathed into the breath of his nostrils, and he became Amen, a living soul. And Jesus said of us, when we are born again, to as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become. To become is process. I'm glad that I am growing up into the fullness, the measure, and the stature of Christ. Come on, somebody. Amen. I want to become all that I am to become. Now, it's very easy, amen, to look holy. And I'm in agreement with these men. But let me take you just a little step further. That you should never be comfortable just because of the way you look. I know people that are pristine Pentecostal on the outside. But on the inside, they are full of dead men's bones. Amen. I didn't get enough amen, so I'm going to stay right there. You need to look at somebody and say amen so he can preach quick. Amen. I've seen a lot of people that were dressed up like a Pentecostal, but they were mean as a snake. Amen. Quick to gossip, quick to downplay, quick to attack. You ain't gonna say amen. I believe you can be holy on the inside and the outside. Come on, I ain't got but about 25 of you. Just because you're inside the wall, don't give you a right to condemn somebody outside the wall. Amen. And I'm not insinuating that anybody has or Brother Hughes is. Everybody say amen. Because I can hang a clothesline if we need to. But you have to learn quickly that just because you put a tuxedo on a pig, don't make him anything but a pig. Amen. Some of the worst pain I've ever had was from people on the inside of the church. You ain't going to say amen, but look at somebody and say, we're going to keep going now. Amen. Just because you're in the church don't mean that it gives you a right to judge somebody that's in the church, that's in the process of becoming. I'm not what I used to be. Amen. And I'm not what I ought to be. And thank God I'm not what I used to be. Well, we done got tight here, so I'll just stay here. Amen. Amen. So there has to be something in us that understands I am becoming. I'm becoming a better Christian. I'm becoming a better child of God. After the preaching, amen, that Brother Hughes gave us, we're becoming better. That's why he was a little slow to come to the altar, because a preacher hit you and you didn't want to blow your cover. So that's why the pastor got up and made it a little easy for everybody else to not blow their cover and come on to the altar incognito. High five somebody, say thank God for the pastor. Amen. But I say we have a day in Pentecost, amen, where it's free for us to come to the altar quickly, even if I'm the only one. And I would submit to you, you would have came a lot quicker if you weren't so worried about the saved people pointing at you and saying, why'd they go to the altar so quick? I wonder why they were first. I wonder what's going on. It don't matter what's going on. Thank God I was here to be preached to. Thank God I was convicted and I'm going to the altar. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'd have come to the altar quicker, but I was a little worried about what you was going to say. See, now I done got in your business now. Y'all done got me off my message. We would have a lot more altar calls like that if we weren't so worried about what you holy people were going to say. Amen. Because I ain't worried about what God said. God done said and done hit me. Now I need to respond. But my hesitation is in what you're going to think if I respond quickly. Reason our homes end up like they end up is because when the preacher hits us, we don't want to get to the altar. Since you didn't say amen, I'll just slow down and stay here. Amen. What we have to do is take our eyes off of each other and understand that this is a place of healing and help and hope. Amen. And you ought to be comfortable enough to come in and hear preaching like that. And I don't care if you're walking on hair down on the floor. Amen. You ought to be able to get up quickly with your long hair and make yourself down here at the altar without worrying about somebody talking about you. Come on, they do that for Tiger Woods. Slap somebody next to you and say, I release you to respond like you need to. You know why? Because I really don't care what you think about me. I have to examine myself and see whether I'm in the faith. And if I need to repent, I'm going to repent no matter what anybody says. Somebody say amen. So look at somebody next to you and say, I am becoming. And that means I'm going to have to go to the altar every now and then. So don't hate on me, help me. Come on, look at somebody and say, don't hate on me, help me. Look at somebody else and say, don't hate on me, help me. Well, everybody said amen. So when we look in the Word of God, we understand by new birth that we become His body. Thank you, all 12 of you. We become His body. Members in particular fitly framed together. We become His bride. We become the apple of His eye. Come on, this is part of what Brother Morgan was talking about yesterday. We don't need to be intimidated about who we are. You're not just a Pentecostal. No, you're not just a Pentecostal. Amen. UPC doesn't stand for underprivileged children. Come on, look at somebody and say, you got to get your head up. You got to look in the Word of God and understand who you are. You got to quit walking around Ohio like you're on the low end of the totem pole. The devil is a lie. You are His body. You are His bride. You are the apple of His eye. Touch somebody next to you and say, what you all down about? Come on, look at somebody. What are you down about? You're full of the Holy Ghost. Your body is His So when we look at the Word of God, it becomes very clear to us that we are, number one, a peculiar people. That word means exceeding and extraordinary and exceptional and phenomenal and rare and uncommon and unique. I didn't get enough amens. We don't like to shout on a peculiar people, but I remind you, that means you're exceeding. You are extraordinary. You are exceptional. You are phenomenal. You are rare. You ain't happy about it. You need to hit somebody next to you and tell them, I am extraordinary. I am phenomenal. I am rare. I am uncommon. I am unique. Oh, some of you ain't happy about it yet. I'm going to get you again. I said, you're peculiar. You're exceeding and extraordinary, exceptional. You ain't happy yet. You're phenomenal. You're uncommon. You're rare. You are unique. Well, I'm going to have to work. Elbow somebody next to you and say, he's serious. If you'll say amen, he'll preach quick. And the reason we can't get our buildings filled is because we're not even happy where we are. Evangelism and revival is not that hard. Nobody wants something you got that you're not glad you have. Oh, come on, somebody. If you're not glad to be a child of God, nobody wants to be something you are and you're not happy about it. You need to look at somebody and say, you are peculiar. That means you're exceeding. You're extraordinary. You're exceptional. You're phenomenal. You're rare. You're uncommon. And you're unique. Alright, you don't still drink what you used to drink. You don't smoke what you used to smoke. You don't party where you used to party. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now you can be seated. Little monitor, please. Amen. Look at somebody say, you still ain't have, this back part right back here is troubling me. Y'all gonna make us miss lunch. So from about four rows back, look around at each other and say, we are driving that preacher crazy right now. Y'all are. This is the same area at Brother Keyes' church where all the deadheads sit, right on this side. Elbow somebody and say, lunch is going out on you if you don't start getting with it. Help me in the house. Come on, somebody. Look at somebody and say, you are rare. One, two, three, four. You're clear. Look at somebody and say, you are rare. You are uncommon. You are unique. Come on, you're extraordinary. You're exceptional. Look at somebody and say, you're exceptional. You're not just some little underprivileged child. You're a child of God. It's time to get happy about what you are. Look at somebody and say, get happy about what you are. Amen. So first of all, we are peculiar. But secondly, we are a priest. We are a priest, a holy priesthood. Amen. You become a part of the priesthood. And as being a part of the priesthood, you should never come before God empty-handed. That's why we give in the offering. I'm jumping over some stuff. Amen. But at Fort Wayne, I've been up there a lot the last year and a half. They've made a challenge that every time the offering is taken up, we're going to put something in the plate. Whether it's a penny, a nickel, a dollar, a quarter, 50 cents, $50, $100, I'm going to let the devil know every time the plate's up, I'm putting something in this plate. Why? Because I'm a priest and I'm going to offer up God. I'm not going to come in here empty handed. I'm not going to just sit back and lollygag around. Look at somebody and say, you're a priest. Amen. You're a priest. Thirdly, we are to offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips continually with thanksgiving. Now, I believe my message is a bridge between last night and today and what God's going to do tonight with Elder Stone King. You've got to get it in your mind. The only people that worship in this church are not just the guys on the platform. You've got to understand you may be 73, but you're a priest and you've got to be a worshiper. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm a priest, so I am commanded to offer up a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of my lips, continually with thanksgiving. You can be seated. Now, praise, I'm not trying to hype you up. Now, I know that's what we do, and we belittle jumping and shouting, and, we belittle it, but you really don't want to go there. Especially with me. We belittle everybody. We justify stupid stuff like I'm not emotional, so I don't have to. You ain't got no Bible for that. or it's the wrong part of the country. You ain't got no Bible for that. Amen. The Bible says, let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. And I got news for you. If you're going to worship God, it's going to require emotion and movement. If all you can do is that, do it in Jesus' name. But don't sit there and act like the plant. You are a priest, and you need to open up your mouth and offer God the sacrifice of praise. Everybody say continually. Continually with thanksgiving. You know why some of you can't worship? Because you're not thankful. Look at somebody and say, if you was thankful, you could worship. Am I doing all right? Tonight there's going to be miracles in this house. Tonight there's going to be deliverance. But it's not going to come because a man with a magic trick is going to show up. It's going to happen because there's going to be a kingdom of priests that are going to be in this house. And you're going to be worshiping and offering God praise. We ought to start doing it now. We are praising priests. Come on, Ohio. It don't matter how long you've been in church. There ought to be something in you says, I'm a worshiper. I'm going to lift up the name of the Lord. I'm going to praise His name from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. I'm a praising priest. Amen. There ought to be something in you that says, I am a praising priest. Look at somebody and say, I don't know how you're going to go out of here today. And I don't know how you're going to come in here tonight, but I'm coming in here worshiping God. I'm coming in with a praise. I'm going to enter His gates with thanksgiving, and I'm going to enter His courts with praise. I'm not going to just sit here. I'm not just going to look around at everybody, but I'm going to be a worshiper. Look at somebody say, I'm a worshiper. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm like Brother Stark. I love the music, and it's amazing. This fella playing organ, they tell me he hadn't been playing but 8 months. And that's the truth, and I think nobody lying in the house of God, that's a bad man. And I just tell you, I like musicians to get in. Get a little movement in it. Amen. Just why? Because they're, you know what? They understand I'm worshiping God. We're not just entertaining, but on the stringed instruments we're going to worship. I like to see a bass player kind of get with it a little bit. Come on. I like to see a drummer get up on it. I like to see the organist stand up and start. I like, why? And I like to see saints praise of the Lord. I like to see you clapping your hands, waving your feet. Come on, I like to see you shouting unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm not praising you. I'm praising Him. You didn't save me, He did. So if I get on your nerves tough, He saved me. He washed me. He forgave me. He redeemed me. And I've come to praise Him. You can be seated 30 seconds. Look at somebody and say, you didn't save me. Amen. You didn't forgive me. Look at somebody say, again and again and again. And you want to know why some of us keep worshiping? It ain't because we feel anything. It's because we know something. If it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, you would have went back to the alcohol. You would have went back to the pornography. You would have went back to the drug dealing. But the Lord was on your side. You can be seen, we ain't praising God because we're perfect. We're praising God because we're forgiven. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm going to blow my cover. I am forgiven. Come on, look at somebody and say, I am forgiven. Again, again, and again. And so I'm going to praise Him. Because He keeps on forgiving me. When I get preached to by Dr. Hughes and I get convicted, I'm not going to act like I'm perfect. I'm going to repent. Because He's going to forgive, and then I'm going to be a worshiper. He deserves your praise. Why
are you going to offer up a sacrifice of praise? Because I understand, even if I'm in a trial, I'm going to praise God before He delivers me. I'm going to praise God before He brings me out. I'm going to praise God before He turns my situation around. I'm going to praise Him before He makes a way. And here's the verse. I'm going to praise Him because weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming. Now some of you don't hear it. I said, joy is coming. I'm going to preach to myself. Joy is coming. I may be weeping now, but joy is coming. So I'm going to praise Him while I'm weeping. Look at somebody and say, weeping may endure for a night. It may last a long time. It may last longer than you want it to. But I refuse to back down. I refuse to calm down. I refuse to quiet down. I'm going to praise Him when the devil don't think I will. I'm going to praise Him while I'm crying. Because when the sun comes up, I'm still going to be praising. Somebody ought to throw your hands up in the air and just worship Him a little while. Praise Him right where you are. Praise Him because He healed you. Praise Him because He delivered you. Praise Him because you're saved. Praise Him because you're redeemed. Come on, clap your hands. Clap your hands to Him. You can be seated. Now that doesn't mean everybody's got to jump, shout, and run, but you got to do something besides act like the plan. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Look at somebody and say, are you redeemed? Then open your mouth. Open your mouth and begin to praise Him. Don't just praise Him when you got the praise mic. Don't just praise Him when it's your time to sing the solo. Don't just praise Him when it's your wife singing. Praise Him continually with a heart of thanksgiving. Come on, we're getting ready for tonight. Somebody's got to make up in your mind. I'm about to go eat a little supper, but I'm coming to church tonight with a praise on. Why do we praise Him? You can be seated because we understand by revelation that God enthrones Himself in our praise. What will bring the miraculous tonight is praise. Because when we worship Him, He literally enthrones Himself, brings His kingdom to bear. It don't matter what you got going on in your life. You better thank God you're in a praising church. Because when you're in a praising church, He'll bring His throne in the house. And where there's a throne, there's a king. And where there's a king, there's a kingdom. And where there's a king and a kingdom, He can suspend laws. He can rewrite laws. And He can enact laws. He can enact the law of healing. He can enact the law of deliverance. I said He can enact laws. Somebody could walk in here under a law of cancer. But when you begin to worship God and the King shows up, He can suspend cancer and He can enact wholeness. Come on, when you begin to worship God, amen, He can suspend rheumatoid arthritis and He can enact fluidity of limbs. How does that happen? It doesn't happen because you got a super duper extra confragilistic espialidosis preacher. See, this is the problem. We've made Him the magic man. Well, Brother Stone King just touched me. Well, now that's fine if He touches you. But now if we worship God enough, He could stand right here and speak a word of faith, and God could touch everybody all over the building at the same time. And we won't walk out of here saying, did you see what Brother Stone King said? Or did you see what Brother Stone King did? We'll walk out of here saying, did you see God? Did you see God heal 100 people all at one time? Did you see God touch that woman and that man all at the same time? We don't want to walk out of here saying, did you see what Elder Stone King did? We want to walk out of here saying, did you see what the Lord did? He enthroned our praise. need to remind you that your praise will provoke God. I said, your praise will provoke God. I said, your praise can provoke God. That Syrophoenician woman, she kept coming in there worshiping. I love to watch quote unquote lost people or unsaved people or new people come in and out worship the saved people. I love to watch saved people get offended because a person that don't look like them is out praising them. Kind of what they praising for? Well, the question I have for you is, why are you letting them out praise you? They may not have repented yet. They may not have the Holy Ghost yet. They may not have been baptized in Jesus' name yet. But you have. So why would you let somebody that ain't born again worship more than you? They don't have near as much to worship for as you do. He not only saved you, but He's keeping you. You can be seated. So I believe we could have something happen here tonight that in our praise can literally provoke God. I believe you could praise God here today and tonight and make God move back in your hometown. While you're here, He can move there. I believe you could pray and worship here tonight, and God would not only move here, but He would beat Brother Morgan back to San Francisco and move there. When He showed up to church Sunday, there could be a building full of visitors that need the Holy Ghost. Why? Not just because of His people, but because somebody in Ohio worshiped God with a revelation, and God moved here and there. So that's not my message. I know you think it is. But we are to be praising priests. And it should not be, and I want to stay here, but I'm going to go on, make one more point. It should not be that praise preaching is termed as hype preaching. You need to travel with me or Brother Morgan or Brother Stone King or Brother Smith to some churches that don't praise. Not only are we losing some other things, one of the biggest things we've lost is the ability to really praise. Now we don't leap for joy no more. We do toe lifts. Now you're paying $25 for that dress instead of $15, and now you don't want to shout in it. God's blessed you, and you can buy better shoes now, but you don't want to stretch them out. So look at somebody and say, you should have said amen a while ago. Amen. You wear your non-sweating suit. You know, when it's your night to preach, you wear the one you don't mind sweating out. Because somebody said an amen a while ago to keep you out of this. Amen. God starts blessing you. You know, you ain't driving a Volkswagen no more. You're driving a Honda. You know, you come to church leaning in your Honda. You know you something when you're leaning in a Honda. Now, if it was a Jag, go ahead and lean. But a Honda, come on, straighten up now. Straighten up now. Amen. Leaning now. You don't want to get all sweaty at church and get all in your Honda and mess up them seats, you know. Amen. The more blessed we are, the calmer we become. I wonder what would happen tonight. Now, I do feel like I'm just kind of preparing for tonight. I wonder what would happen tonight. If everybody, how many's coming back tonight? Come on, raise your hand. I wonder what would happen if you took control of your row and you let everybody know on your row tonight, don't mess up the flow on my row. I come in here wanting some Holy Ghost flow on my row. I got a knee hurting. I got a knot in my neck. Come on, been having my. I need somebody on my road that's going to worship. I need somebody on my road that's going to praise. That's what I need. Oh, you need to look at somebody and tell them, if you're going to sit down and be cool, get back in the corner. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. I feel it. I don't normally preach this way, but I feel it. There's going to be miracles all over this house tonight. There's going to be deliverance all over this house tonight. But it ain't going to happen because the magic man's coming. It's going to happen because somebody like you makes up your mind. When I come into church, I don't care if it's fast or slow songs, I'm going to be worshiping God. Because my road, those 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 seats are going to be targets of a miracle. I don't know who's going to be set by me, but miracles are going to be in this house. If you feel that way, throw your hands up and praise it. I want you to take 30 seconds for a little praise practice. Just fake it and act like it's tonight. Come on, 30 seconds. I gotta praise, I gotta praise, and I gotta get it out. I gotta praise. Come on and say, I gotta praise, I gotta praise, and I gotta get it out. I gotta praise. Don't you know? I gotta praise, I gotta praise, and I gotta get it out. I gotta praise. I gotta pray. Well, I gotta pray. I gotta pray. And I gotta act like it's tonight. 10 more seconds. Come on. 10 more seconds. Oh, come on. Look at somebody. Throw your hands up in the air and give it praise. Just praise His name in a dance. I dare somebody to pick it up, set it down a little bit. Come on, swallow your pride. Swallow your pride and praise His name. Holy. Look at somebody say, now wait a minute. Look at somebody say, now wait a minute. Turn around, look at somebody say, now wait a minute. That's me. That preacher preached about the name last night. Can y'all hear me out there? I said, that preacher preached about the name. You need to praise His name in the dance. Come on, somebody.